For much of the 20th century, the United States saw a huge influx of immigrants from European countries, while Asians and Africans were largely excluded or subject to severe work camp restrictions. On October 3rd of 1965, President Lyndon B. Johnson stood at the foot of the Statue of Liberty and signed the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965. It opened America's doors to all.
This bill says simply that from this day forth, those wishing to immigrate to America shall be admitted on the basis of their skills and their close relationships to those already here. The fairness of this standard is so self-evident that we may well wonder that it has not always been applied.
But by 1980, the situation had begun to change. Getting American citizenship had become a long, arbitrary process with no guarantees. Yong Min Yu's parents came to the U.S. from South Korea around 1980. They arrived with legal visas along with Yong Min, a baby, and his brother. The process of becoming a citizen was so arduous, though, that they eventually joined the undocumented. Now at 35, Yong Min is too old to qualify for the DREAM Act, or Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. He feels Asians need to embrace the activism of Latinos and step out of the shadows to show that the problem of the undocumented in America is not just about Latinos.
I've been here 34, 35 years now. It's going to be like 36 or whatever. And nothing's ever changed in my situation. And, you know, my parents have been here as long as I've been here as well. And they have a grocery store and they pay taxes. They have a house. They have a business. Yet there's no way for them to become right with the law. And I think the American public doesn't understand that even though we've been here for 30 years, that there's still no legislation for us to ever become citizens.
How did you grow up knowing that you were someone who had to live in the shadows, not as an Asian, but as an undocumented immigrant?
You know, I found out about my undocumented status in high school. I wanted to be a pediatrician back then. You know, I love kids. I love helping them. I wanted to do this hospital residency program. They wanted my green card. And so I went back home, back to my parents' grocery store to get my green card. And my mom said it was at the house. And so I go to the house and try to find this mythical, magical green card. You might as well told me to find some magic beans on the way or some unicorn. I couldn't find this green card and called my mom back at the store. And she said, you don't have one. You can't do that hospital residency program. And you shouldn't tell anybody about this. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? It was just such a shock. I thought I was an American citizen. I was here since I was the age of one in 1981. It just went downhill after that, honestly. I was 17. Maybe I didn't handle it the best way I could, honestly. And I didn't know anybody who was undocumented besides me and my brother. So I had no one to talk to. And, you know, I think that one of the things I try to emphasize is that being undocumented is like living in this invisible prison. You know, you're behind these invisible bars. And most of the time, sometimes you're there by yourself, but most of the time you're there with your whole family and you're just stuck there.
What do you think the difference is between Latino immigrants who seem to get center stage on this issue of activism and, the symbol versus Asian immigrants?
More power to the Latinos who've been out there and have done tremendous work behind the scenes and gotten a lot of media attention. And for the Asian activists, I'm not going to fault them for obeying their parents or being scared, because I think we are kind of like scared in some sense. I think, though, that there's a difference just, I guess, in the way their support system is. I think the Latinos will support each other. The Asians, I think they'll support each other, too, but not very publicly. I made the Korean newspaper back in 2010, and this was like the daily news of the Korean newspaper. And, you know, that was the first time anybody made the Korean newspaper. And my mom was so mad. She was so furious. She said, why'd you do this? And I said to her, you know, I wanted to do it. You know, these kids were dying. This causes actually depression, severe depression. And some dreamers, undocumented immigrants, have committed suicide. Back then, I think Gustavo from Massachusetts, he had committed suicide. And then in 2011, there was a well-known case from Texas, Joaquin Luna, who committed suicide right after Thanksgiving. And so, you know, that was my answer. And she told me, why don't you let someone else do it? And I said, no, I want to do this. I want to help these kids. And I don't want another immigrant to lose their life over a broken immigration system. And I think I just kind of want to tell the Asian activists that we're here and we need your support. And I think that many of us who can band together and organize, hopefully we could try to get something done.
If I had a magic wand and could change something in the immigration laws that would change your life, what would it be?
You know, with the magic wand, I would hope that there would be some immigration reform. So a law that's broad, that encompasses a lot of immigrants who are here without papers, that they could actually sign up and do things. I mean, if it was just me, you know, I think that was kind of a little bit too narrow. You know, I could just probably get married and, you know, for love, of course, and get my papers that way. But I felt that maybe that wasn't the best way for me. And other people have done it, and I'm not faulting them. But for me, I wanted to come back, and I wanted to help other people try to accomplish these goals. And, you know, the thing about me was that I was one of the older people, and I aged out of DACA in 2012. The age cutoff was 31, and I was 32 and a half. So that was kind of discouraging and disappointing. But I think if the magic wand would be immigration reform, I think that would help a lot more people.
Well, good luck.
Thank you.
It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, John.
Yongmin Yu is currently studying round the clock for the LSATs when he's not working in his parents' store. He's hoping to go to law school and eventually become a Supreme Court justice.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.